Our next case this morning is number 07-1792, Vose against Kleeman. Ms. Franks.
May it please the court, counsel. Good morning. My name is Angela Fiennes. I'm representing Chief Clement and Deputy Chief Rouse in this case. We're here today to ask this court to reverse the district court's order denying the defendant's motion to dismiss based on qualified immunity. On the complaint alone, it appears beyond doubt that the plaintiff cannot make any facts that support his First Amendment claim for relief because his speech was pursuant to his job duties and his employment responsibilities as a narcotics sergeant. Qualified immunity applies to Deputy Chief Rouse and the chief, and this case can be dismissed without the defendants having to go through the burdens and expenses of litigation. The qualified immunity test is first.
But you're at the motion to dismiss level, are you not?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
The qualified immunity test is first taken in a light most favorable to the plaintiff. The facts show an official violated a constitutional right. Second, the court determines whether the right was clearly established at the time of the alleged violation. The plaintiff cannot make out a First Amendment violation based on Garcetti. Giving him the benefit of the doubt, if he does make out a constitutional violation, the right was not clearly established at the time of the alleged violation. As Saussure states, if no constitutional right would have been violated were the allegations established, there's no necessity for further inquiries concerning qualified immunity. The Supreme Court decision in Garcetti stated, when a public employee speaks as a citizen for First Amendment purposes, it does not apply to his job duties or his core job functions.
Well, his argument here is, though, that he was dealing with a different part of the department. He had no responsibilities with regard to the area where he claimed there was misconduct.
Your Honor, referring to paragraph 17 of the complaint, he said he was a narcotics unit sergeant who was concerned about the misconduct on behalf of the major case unit detectives.
Right.
Effect on his unit. Therefore, he did his investigation to see if they were going to hit the misconduct was going to affect ongoing drug investigations within his unit. Therefore, it was part of his employment responsibilities as a sergeant. He was also concerned about the lack of coordination between the two units. He brought these concerns up his chain of command to the chief of police, to his deputy chief, and to his lieutenant. He also he voiced this concern at numerous department meetings. He also was ordered by his deputy chief in December 2004 to put these allegations in written format. That's a job duty. That's part of his job if he's ordered by his deputy chief. He was also ordered to attend the Grimm trial by his deputy chief because the deputy chief was unavailable at the time, and he was ordered to report back to that deputy chief in regards to the circumstances of the Grimm trial. He was also ordered after that what I call the get-along meeting, either get along with the sergeants and the detectives or ask for a transfer out, and he was told to write a memo, and he did turn in a memo. All of this is pursuant to his employment functions. Vose did not adequately set forth an allegation in his complaint that the chief and the deputy chief violated his constitutional rights. Vose does not pass the first prong of the qualified immunity test because of Garcetti. The chief and deputy chief Rouse should be granted qualified immunity. He does not allege anywhere in the 70-paragraph complaint that he was acting as a private citizen when he was reporting misconduct on the part of the detectives. Moreover, the investigation was done at work. An ordinary citizen would not be aware of this information, nor would they probably care if the two units were getting along together. Garcetti states that restricting speech that owes its existence to a public employee's professional responsibilities does not infringe any liberties the employee might have enjoyed as a private citizen. Vose was speaking pursuant to his official duties, not as a citizen contributing to civic discourse. His transfer to patrol for truthfully reporting allegations of misconduct after Garcetti does not offend the First Amendment. Prior to Garcetti, there was ambiguity. Thus, even without Garcetti, qualified immunity applies to the chief and the deputy chief because it was not clearly established that speaking pursuant to his job duties was protected by the First Amendment. even though the content of his speech may be a public concern and that a newspaper had published a story about one of the detectives, it does not make Vo's speech rise above speech pursuant to his job to speech pursuant to civic discourse. The controlling factor is Vo's expressions were made pursuant to his official duties as a narcotics unit sergeant, mainly because his research and concerns about the misconduct of the major case unit detectives are going to affect his unit, and he reported this misconduct up his chain of command with numerous meetings, and he was ordered, and he did, create two memos in regards to the misconduct and asked to remove himself, a force transfer to patrol. This case presents precisely the type of scenario in which qualified immunity is intended to shield public employers from suit. The district court erred in finding Chief Clement and Deputy Chief Rouse were not entitled to qualified immunity. It is clear that there is no relief that could be granted under any set of facts that could prove consistent with a First Amendment violation, and qualified immunity applies. Chief Clement and Deputy Chief Rouse respectfully request this court reverse the decision of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We'll hear now from Mr. Lawson.
May it please the court, counsel. Before I turn to the points that I'd like to make, I'd like to address some of the matters that were raised in the appellant's argument. The comment was made that the speech was at work, so a citizen would not have concern. But the law is clear, and Garcetti made clear, the fact that you talk at work, the fact that your speech may be connected to the subject matter of your employment, the fact that you even talk privately, the fact that, in other words, if Sergeant Vos talks to his chief, is of no consequence. It's not dispositive. That was put to the side. It said that there was not sufficient allegations in our complaint. Well, first of all, even before the new U.S. Supreme Court case, you didn't have to have evidence pled. The current Supreme Court case requires a little heightened matter of pleading, and we think our complaint clearly meets that. The one thing that is real clear in this case is that the district court found, without any hesitation, without any problem, and we're asking this court to find by affirmance, that as a matter of law, it was not the official duty of Sergeant Vos to ferret out on his own and then report wrongdoing of what he felt was information about wrongdoing and corruption of non-subordinates in a totally different unit. Counsel says there it became a job responsibility because Sergeant Vos was ordered to put it in writing. The complaint, and it's a 12B6 motion, qualified immunity is also limited at least to the allegations of the complaint, says that he first verbally made the report, then and at some point in time they wanted information in writing. I don't think Garcetti says, I don't think the law ever contemplates, and I suggest that it would not be consistent with First Amendment jurisprudence to say that once you speak on the matter of public concern, let's say as a citizen, just because you're then told, I want you to put it in writing, that now they've convert the entire speech to a job responsibility and take it out of protected speech. In this case, and I think the one way of looking at this, Garcetti, and I think if you review Garcetti and you look at this court's decisions, Spiegla, Sigsworth, Mills, even the Morales case that was decided after our briefs were submitted that apply Garcetti, they gave definition to what the concern is as to whether or not the speech, such as the kind that would be reviewed here, it's a practical inquiry, it's really going to be a fact inquiry, but it didn't the district court didn't have any problem looking at it. That if you look at that, you can see that this is not the kind of speech that Garcetti says is pursuant to official duties. Let me digress one second. Garcetti, if you recall, was a 5-4 decision that went back and it looked at the Ninth Circuit decision, and there was this concept of official duty sort of came out of that concurrence of Judge Scanlan in the Ninth Circuit, who was talking about routine daily operations. And when you look at what Garcetti said, they said the Cabalas, the district, the assistant DA, that What was his official duties? What was he paid to do? And his job was oversee this area and make these reports, even though there's wrongdoing in the sports, make these reports to the DA. If you look at the case like Sigsworth that this court decided, the task force district from the city of Aurora, what the concern was of the court, the key was that he was reporting something that had gone wrong with regard to the very matter that he had responsibility. He had task force responsibility, this drug gang checking out, whatever it was. They said, something went wrong, that's what you were tasked to do. Clearly, that was your job. If you look at Morales, which was decided in July after our briefs were filed, the issue there that this court was concerned about was that the speech arose pursuant to the matter that the employee had a specific job duty to follow up on. Arrests, and he had to keep working his case up to the DA. Again, nothing like the facts in this case. This is not a case. Garcetti made clear that one thing they were concerned about was, in their words, constitutionalizing an employee grievance. This is not a case, Your Honors, where a public employee, Sergeant Vose, was airing any grievance that he had with someone else. This is also not a case like Garcetti, Spiegla, who was the guard working the gate, who had prison guard prison security responsibilities, felt there was a breach required by her job to memorialize, and she sought clarification. So not like Garcetti, who had the duty to make these reports to a superior, Spiegla, the prison guard, who had the clear duty to report about her work she was doing, and then counsel, in a letter to the clerk, highlighted another case out of the Central District of Illinois, the Crossan versus City of Athens. That was a treasurer who was speaking about a fund that she found that was off the ledger. But her job was to oversee these funds on the ledger. There's nothing in the complaint that would indicate, or that could even inferentially be drawn, certainly if you're not taking it favorable to the plaintiff, the district court had no problem finding, saying this, that Sergeant Vose undertook on his own, went out and identified something that was going on with other detectives, not under his supervision, in a separate unit. And in fact, what he spoke about, and I know this, we're at the motion stage, so we don't have the whole evidence like a summary judgment motion, but as indicated by the complaint and as found by the district court, he clearly was speaking on these matters of public concern about there's wrongdoing or corruptions or schemes or however you want to characterize it, misconduct in the police department, something a citizen clearly would speak about. A citizen could equally go out, come across something, and decide, I'm going to speak up about it. Clearly, not just a simple job responsibility. And then we have the case of that's discussed in the briefs. We have the Mills case decided by this court and the Haynes case, the canine officer, I think it was the Third Circuit, Sixth Circuit, was reported. This case is not like either of those cases either, where guidance was given as to what is the post-Garcetti pursuant to an official duty. In that case, the speech at issue was in response to a decision by higher-ups that the employee criticized or disagreed with. In Mills, the chief did something and changed how the crime prevention officers, the neighborhood officers, were done. And in Haynes, the chief or whoever was in charge changed the way the canine unit was going to be structured or run. This is not the case we have here. This is not Sergeant Hill speaking and criticizing such that there'd be concern that he couldn't do his duty. This is the classic case. And in fact, Your Honors, Garcetti and Haynes even suggest that the content of the speech, even though not determinative, still can be looked at to determine whether or not it's within the job duty. And even though Mills says you don't get to that issue until you decide as a citizen, Mills doesn't say that you still can't even look at the content to determine if speaking as a citizen. Let me briefly go see my light's starting to go on about the qualified immunity. Obviously, we have the burden on the first part to show you that, in fact, Sergeant Vose spoke, and certainly at this stage, at 12B6 stage, that this complaint is more than adequately sufficient. The district court clearly found without any hesitation that that was the thing, the situation. Qualified immunity, the second part, is the burden on the defendant to show that the law, whether the law was clearly established at the time. They make two points. The first is, look at Garcetti, and when you look at Garcetti, then you look backwards and you determine that the law was not clearly established. The district court rejected it. We cited the cases as why it's rejected. You just don't take a case that decided after the fact and say it was clearly established. That was a May 06 case. All the actions in this case were 04, 05 up to January 06. And lastly, the question then is, okay, what about pre-Garcetti? Was the law clearly established? The district court cites the same case that we cited in our brief because we cited them originally to the district court. It's clearly established. It's said over and over and over again by this court, by other courts, and even Garcetti, before they get to it, they make it real clear, the majority, that in fact the law was clear. You look at the content, public concern, talk about police, that is clearly established. I don't think there's anything to indicate to the otherwise. So we're asking this court to affirm the decision of the district court, and I think this court can decide as a matter of law on the basis of even the pleading that Sergeant Vose's speech was not what he was paid to do. He wasn't paid to go look elsewhere, something that he came upon himself. He might have had an initial concern about it, but you know, you can have speech about the subject matter of your employment. Garcetti said no problem. But that's not where it ended up at or mushroomed up to. I guess alternatively, if all of a sudden there are these issues being raised that say, well, this was really what his job duties were, this was his responsibility, we don't have that. It's not in the complaint. We don't have it before the court. But I don't think we don't even have to get to that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. How much time does counsel have? Thank you.
Your Honor, counsel's arguments fail for several reasons. First of all, this court used Garcetti and Spiegla II and Mills and in Sigsworth, where the conduct occurred in 2000 and 2002, respectively. This conduct occurred in 2004 and in 2005. Additionally, referring back to paragraph 17 of the complaint, he was a narcotics unit sergeant. He was concerned about the misconduct on behalf of the detectives affecting his unit, whom he was responsible for. This court stated in Spiegla II that core job functions are too narrow after Garcetti, which asked only whether employees' expressions were made pursuant to official responsibilities. Vose's official responsibility was a narcotics unit sergeant. He was responsible for making sure that those drug investigations were going according to plan and nothing was affecting him. Additionally, the qualified immunity shield states that there's no constitutional violation. The qualified immunity shield should be up, and Deputy Chief Rouse and Chief Clement should have it. If it was not clearly established, and I would refer to the Connick v. Myers, there's been several Seventh Circuit decisions. It's a gray area. You can't expect a chief of police and a deputy chief to know that gray area, and I wouldn't want them to know that, you know, go to that gray area. Thus, this is precisely the scenario. I've got the plaintiff's complaint with 70 paragraphs stating that was pursuant to his job where qualified immunity applies, and I would respectfully ask that you would reverse the district court's decision denying the motion to dismiss. Thank you.
Our thanks to both counsel in the case, and the case will be taken under advisement.